6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deep. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report, the podcast that hopes to get through this episode without the Red Ring of Death. My name is Drew, I'll be your host for the evening. Along with me, as always, is my brother Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm here. Yes, the Red Ring of Death. Back when it was acceptable that your video game console would just cease to work for no apparent reason, and everybody was okay with it for some reason. I don't know.
Well, I figured that I figured that was appropriate for our 360th episode.
Oh, good call. Good call there.
Yeah, see? Yeah, meta. Anyway, how have you been, man? How was your week?
It's been a week. It's one of those weeks where we're recording on a Wednesday, and it's been a long week. But that's just, it's just been a long work week. Otherwise, I can't complain about anything else. How about you?
It's been an insanely long work week. I'm actually, and I'm on, today is, okay, hold on. Today is day 8 of 13 for me. I'm on a 13-day stretch right now.
Oh, dang.
Of work. So I have been insanely busy taking it one day at a time, and I'm kind of surprised I am in the mood that I'm in as opposed to dog tired. So yeah, there you go.
I remember learning how it's our state law that like 13 is the most days you can work in a row because you can't work a full 2 weeks straight. Yeah, you can't work a full 2 weeks without having a day off. So once you get to the 13th day, by law, they have to give you the next day off. So, yeah.
Ooh, I may have broken that in May for sure. I'm going to have to...
Oh, interesting. That's at least how it was explained to me back when I worked retail and had a crazy schedule, so... Fun stuff.
Yeah, I may have broken that in May, because I think in the month of May I only had 2 days off because May was insane, which is messed up to say that. No one cares about my work schedule. What did you watch this week?
Besides keeping tabs on your work schedule. I only have a couple things. I can keep it pretty short. No surprise, since I actually mentioned I'd probably have this finished last week, but we did finish watching Cobra Kai, the full series, yeah. This past week. I absolutely loved the series. I think it was kind of an interesting touch that, the big Sekai Taikai tournament at the end of the show was held in the valley in California, you know, where all these characters live. And it totally makes sense. You think about Karate Kid, you think about the first movie with the big tournament, the Valley Championship. I can't remember the exact name of it, but
the All Valley.
The All Valley. There you go. Of course it's going to be in the valley. Of course it's going to be that same location. There is a part of me, like, I always like seeing, characters that I like traveling to exotic locations. So I'm like, oh, are they going to go to, like, you know, Japan? Are they going to go to some other, like, crazy exotic place? But it totally makes sense that the final tournament would take place there. And just how the whole thing ended with the whole, like, sensei showdown, like, that was pretty awesome. I love that they... Keep going.
Sorry, I was just going to say, from a writing standpoint, guys, we got to get Johnny. This show's about Johnny Lawrence. We have to get him back in the ring. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. And also I loved, like, in that final fight scene, they really were teasing it. Like, they were really making you think that Johnny Lawrence was going to do the crane kick. Like, he was going to do the crane kick to take out the other sensei. But he ends up not. Spoiler alert. I probably should have said that before, but he doesn't do that. But when you think about it, Johnny Lawrence wouldn't do that, you know? So it totally...
Right.
sense, but they kind of had more of a subtle conclusion where they show how Johnny was using the skills he learned from Miyagi-Do to win this final fight, even though he didn't do like the full-on crane kick, which might have been a little too on the nose if he did that. But no, it was awesome. It was a great send-off for the characters. I really like the they did that like little, I guess it's kind of a credit scene. Like it's actually like a scene like after they show the show's logo at the end and right before the credits, they have that scene where it's Johnny and Danny both at the sushi place, you know, just hanging out. That little bit that alludes to the whole like catching the fly with chopsticks. I don't want to spoil how that plays out, but that was a really fun little touch, especially because they never really referenced the fly and the chopsticks thing like throughout the whole show. So that was pretty cool. My other favorite part, and I don't remember if it was the last episode or the penultimate episode, but the fact that they actually brought in the song, you know, "You're the Best Around," I couldn't believe it because they were going into the montage and then that song starts playing and I was just audibly like, yes, they finally included this song in the show. And it was one of those things because the show has so many 80s throwbacks. I didn't even realize that the show was missing that song. You know, I was just enjoying the ride, enjoying all of the music that they had in the show. But when that song finally shows up, I'm like, Of course, this is the part, and it was so perfect, and it was actually awesome that they were able to save that for the very end of the series. So the whole thing's super awesome. Drew, I know you had to kind of give a vague review before. I don't know if you've been holding anything back about the show, but no, I really loved it, and it's one of those things where my wife and I loved it enough that there was definitely like a Cobra Kai depression that set in after watching the show. When it's like, man, like, cause that was like our daily routine for like, you know, like 2 months straight was just at the end of the night, like put the kid to bed, watch an episode or two of Cobra Kai. And we weren't able to do that, you know, like after like we finished it. So we're like, do we start again or what do we do now? You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know if you were, you've been holding anything back. You know what I mean?
I mean, they just brought every story thread full circle, which is so like from a writing standpoint, it's so impressive how clean the ending of the show was. How like, and you know, if you didn't like the ending, well, you're wrong. Everything was so clean. Everything was kind of like super perfect. It was very, I love the bit. Like, so for example, like when you remember how I said the last like 3 to 4 episodes, you want to watch back to back because of how they play out. Cause you're just like, oh my God, fight after fight after fight. But as the drama builds on that, you're just like, and these guys are going to fight. And everyone's like, holy crap. And you as an audience member, you're like, holy crap. And then like, this guy's getting like, you know, the way they played it out. And when you got up to the sensei match, you're like, oh my God, they just so brilliantly like lumped all, like, we still have another episode to go. How are they going to do this sensei fight? Oh man. You know, that kind of thing. I also love when they all came out in the Cobra Kai gis. And they're like, how is this possible? And they're like, all of them are former Cobra Kai. And you're just like, yes, they are. And not only that, you're just like, yes, they are, including Daniel because of Karate Kid 3. And then you're just like, not only that, but it was just like, it was so perfect because the show is called Cobra Kai. No matter how it happened, Cobra Kai had to end up on top, no matter how this went down. You know what I mean? And like,
I'll keep you on,
Yeah, it's just, it was, I just thought it was so brilliant. And I was so excited in general when the show ended. Like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, man, what am I going to watch now? But there's still the excitement of, God, that was good. Let's do it again. Like, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was great. And yeah, it is like that one thing where like that final sensei showdown, because I don't think Daniel LaRusso put on the Cobra Kai gi until that final showdown when he was essentially being Johnny's sensei. And that's one thing I was thinking of. I was like, should Danny be there? And then I was like, oh, no, he was previously Cobra Kai, and apparently in this tournament's rules, that's all you need to switch dojos, you know? As long as you were part of that dojo at some point in your life, you can totally switch, which is hilarious. Now, Chosen, for example, the character Chosen, I don't know if he technically should have been a Cobra Kai sensei at the end of the show, but that's okay. That's really nitpicking, and again, I don't know that the rules to this tournament are really that strict if you want to bring in like real world stuff. It was still awesome to see Chosen on Johnny's side of the ring, regardless. The one thing I'll say, because like you're right, you know, Johnny's story, Danny's story, all the kids' stories are great. They really wrapped them up well. The story I didn't know was going to be wrapped up so well was actually Kreese's story. And I didn't know that Kreese and Johnny Lawrence were going to be able to come to terms with their past in the way that they did.
Yeah.
But then also the whole Kreese versus Silver showdown on the yacht was so epic. And it just felt, you know, I don't want to compare it to like the Expendables, but it did have that level of like, you felt like you were watching like these old action movie stars that you loved watching, like growing up and seeing their final showdown and the way that played out from both the fight, but also just the dialogue too, like how all the dialogue led up to No Mercy. And you got to think about like how many times you've seen John Kreese smoking the cigar like throughout the series, and that like played into that, the whole outcome of that fight scene. So everything was just so well, like I don't know if I want to say so well thought out, but it was so well concluded, you know, like they yeah. really did leave no loose ends untied. So yeah, awesome stuff.
Yeah, really good. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. Did you watch anything else?
Yeah. So the only other thing, because like I said, there really was like a couple days where like my wife and I like didn't know what to watch. Like we were just like, man, we finished Cobra Kai. That was amazing. We don't really know what to do next. And so it was a little bit of like we had a couple days of just watching random movies and stuff. The one other thing I did was I did start Wednesday season 2.
Okay.
I've only watched. Have you started this yet at all, Drew?
Not yet.
Okay. So the one thing I'll say is like it's August now. School's back in session, at least in my town. It's fall now. I don't care. I know it's technically summer, but to me, it's fall. I'm ready for Han Solo season. I'm ready for the pumpkin spice lattes. Bring it on. So Wednesday fits right into that, right into welcoming spooky season. So we did start season 2 of Wednesday. I actually think we got a little bit left in the first episode, so I can't say too much. And it's one of those things where we started watching it. The wife decided she wanted to go to sleep and we didn't finish the first episode. So I'm like, oh man, that is kind of rough. But what I can say is I'm really loving the series so far. I feel like, I don't think it's super noticeable, but I do think this series does the typical season 2 thing where there is a slightly noticeable increase in production value, and that just comes into cinematography and the way they showcase like Nevermore Academy and stuff like that. I feel like it just feels like a little bit higher of a budget. And that's always cool to see when it comes into like when you compare shows like first season to second season, it's always cool to see the evolution of the production value in a show like that. The other thing I'll say, because I don't really want to say too much about the storyline, but season 2 starts with kind of what Wednesday has been up to on her summer break, you know, between semesters or between, I guess, school years at Nevermore Academy. And the way it starts is so perfect and it's so amazing. Like, it's such a funny, like, really awesome situation she's in. And that's all I'm going to say, because the way it starts is just so perfect. So definitely check Wednesday out when you get a chance. But that's honestly probably about all I'll say on that. So,
yeah. I hear you. No, I look forward to watching Wednesday, and this is that thing where like I need to have a moment where I'm not like, oh, I got like 10 minutes to like watch a TV show, mm-hmm. you know? So that's kind of like been how my last 2 weeks have been. So the stuff that I was able to review last week was, in my opinion, pretty impressive compared to the amount that of time that I've had where it's been like, all right, I got an hour. I don't really want to start anything new because I got to go to bed soon. So I'm just going to go back to watching stuff that I fall asleep to just in case I doze off. You know what I mean? That's kind of how it's been. So, mm-hmm.
Well, Wednesday season two, they definitely do that Netflix sort of thing where they've released 4 episodes. And I guess the remaining episodes of the season are going to be released in September. So you definitely have time to catch up. So,
yeah, I might just wait then for the whole bank. This isn't, it's not like Stranger Things where I'm going to have to like watch in real time. Cause how long those episodes are going to be. But, with Wednesday, I might just wait for the whole bank and watch it in one shot.
I feel like people don't spoil Wednesday like they do Stranger Things either. Yeah. Like, I feel like people are just like, oh, Wednesday is so awesome, but they're not giving out plot points where like, if you're, you know, a week behind in Stranger Things, you're just like, you're hopeless. You know what I mean? But what were you saying?
Well, what I was going to say was, was that all you watched?
Yeah, pretty much for this week. Okay. It was just those two things. So,
I didn't watch anything.
Lovely.
I had every intention. It's literally like, this is the issue of what do I have time to do in the stuff compared to all the stuff I have to do around not only the house, but work and all that stuff in the day to day. The one thing that I was trying to get done before this episode, which I guarantee I'll have watched by next week, and I might have the first 2 episodes watched by next week, is Alien Earth started last night.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I know. So I was trying to get that one in because to me that was like the number one important one to get in, but I wasn't able to get it done before this show. No big deal. I'll have that gives me 2 episodes to review next week, which will be awesome. So we'll be able to talk about the 2 episodes. I'm so excited for this show. The one piece of content I did knock down was playing with the DC app. I discovered a issue of a comic book that struck me as, ooh, I need to read this. I don't know how many issues this is going to be. It's clearly going to be multiple issues, but it's titled The New DC, The New History of the DC Universe. It is incredible. It's almost like the Flash is telling the story. And you see Barry Allen sitting at his computer typing, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm the only person who's able to tell this story properly because of my ability to tap into the Speed Force and my ability to travel to and from time. I'm the only one who's seen the universe and the way, that it's been laid out before us. And I feel it's my job to chronicle all of this. So then the Flash starts telling the story from the beginning of the DC universe going forward.
Wow. Like, okay.
We're talking like from the creation. Like when I say the creation, like that leads into because the Guardians on the planet Oa were created way longer than you think they were. So it like starts from the beginning and then they move into the Oa with the Green Lantern Corps, and then they move into the new gods and Darkseid and High Father and all them, the children of those two warring factions, and they just keep going and going and going. And then I'm like, this is amazing. I'm just reading through this, just completely baffled by the order of things. And then the issue ends with Krypton exploding. All right. You're just like, nice. Oh, so you know that issue two will definitely start with, it might not start with, but Clark arriving on planet Earth, you know? So it's the idea, like I was just completely blown away by it. And where like on comic book standards, everything starts with Superman. But when you have to dig into the idea that a lot of these existed long before.
Yeah, definitely.
Superman, there were things that were in place before Superman was a thing. Yeah. Krypton explodes and here we go. It was a really, really cool issue. If you get a chance to look it up and read it, I highly, highly recommend it. It's the new history of the DC universe.
Wait, is this I'm unfamiliar with this title. Is this is this a newer title or is this a couple years old or
no, it's a newer title, and I think it's one of those things that DC's doing right now in the realm of like with with all the James Gunn stuff going on, I think when you look at like a comic book movie, we'll take Fantastic Four for an example, because it's new for Marvel. You want your comics to reflect, and I've noticed this a lot, where you want the comic books reflect what is on the screen, in the sense that people are going to be reading, oh, that's what's there. So it's new history of the DC universe. Yeah, it's brand new.
Nice. Okay.
Let me see here. Issue details. Hold on. In the celebration of 90 years of DC superfan writer Mark Waid turns back the time to the very beginning of the DC universe in a 4-issue miniseries drawn by some of DC's greatest artists and told by chronicler of time, Barry Allen, The Flash. In our debut issue, Barry takes us from the very birth of the DC universe to the rise of the Justice Society. The golden age of heroes begins here. It's 42 pages long. It's really cool. Like, it's really great. And I look forward to reading the next issue. So there you go.
42 pages is definitely a sizable issue as well. But no, this sounds like really cool in kind of a nerdy sense. But I say that in just like that sort of DC history sort of thing. I think this sounds awesome. I'm just like personally just kind of really behind on keeping up with comics at all. So cool, nice pull with this one. And it's kind of interesting that you mentioned the whole James Gunn thing in relation to this, because the one thing James Gunn, in my opinion, has been doing an amazing job with that I feel like most live action superhero directors haven't really been as good at with, is James Gunn has been directing people back to the comic shops. Like, people, like, I've seen people talking online about people ever since Superman came out, like, people actually are showing up to the comic shops again to buy Superman comics. And likewise, like, I think it's happening with Supergirl. And I don't know what it is about James Gunn. I think it might just be he's carrying his love for the comics on his sleeve, but he's somehow getting people to go back to the shops, and I think that's amazing. So awesome.
Yeah. So to make my point, like, you want your comic books to reflect what's in the movies. So you have James Gunn starting everything over, and you have that moment at the beginning of Superman where, like, you find out that superheroes have existed for 300 years. Well, what does that mean? Right?
Yeah, good call. So then you
throw out this comic book, and then you're just like, oh, here's some history stuff that we didn't know. It's really good. If you get a chance to read it, man, I highly recommend it. It was really cool. So,
yeah, and this one would actually be cool to see. I'm kind of curious, like, if there is any sort of, like, connection with the James Gunn DCU. Like, do you have any insight into that? Or is it, like, that's just kind of, like, what you've gotten from it, you know?
Yeah, I don't. I'm just kind of, it stumbled on it. So, like, when you open up the DC app, it's kind of like no different than like a Netflix, where you have your, like, they're highlighting the things that they want you to, like, hey, you should look at this shit. And then right below is the continue reading or continue watching, right?
Yeah.
So it popped up in the, you should check this out. I'm like, what is this? And I click on it. I'm like, oh, it's a single issue. That's cool. And I just started reading. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, it was just so good. So,
well, either way, I think, like, whether this is like some really planned thing or if it's more of a happy accident, it's a really good move to have a book about the history of your universe come out at the same time that you launch a cinematic universe. And
sure,
you know, whichever way you view it, like, I think DC is potentially doing some really smart stuff. And I feel like this is the type of stuff I kind of wanted DC and Marvel to be doing, like, 10, 15 years ago. So the fact that it's happening finally, I think, is pretty badass. So cool. Cool stuff.
Sure. I'm going to. So, yes, agreed. It's awesome. But yeah, that's all I really consumed this week, where I wanted to do more, but that's kind of all I consumed. So
nice. Still cool stuff though.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump over to news, shall we? We don't have a lot to talk about, so we'll burn through this real quick. And then we'll talk about tonight's list. First, more James Bond rumors. And I'm going to tell you right now, this podcast is tired of the rumors. Give us some real nuggets, some real actual meat. Is it Denis Villeneuve? Is it Christopher Nolan? Is it Tom Holland? Is it Henry Cavill? Is it Zendaya? Question mark, because Zendaya is now reportedly in the running to play James Bond. Yes, I did say that right. Amazon is reportedly looking for a James Bond actor under 30 years old and is female and a person of color, according to rumors. And Zendaya could be on Amazon's shortlist for the role. Okay. Okay. The one thing that Zendaya is not British, is she?
Yeah, I mean that's what I was gonna say.
that's the thing, sure, right there. The Ian Fleming's estate is the one thing about it is like he has to be British, according to Ian Fleming's estate. Like they're not gonna mess around with that. And I know Amazon owns the property right now, but I really don't think they're gonna mess around with that. So what do you think about Zendaya being James Bond?
I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, I don't necessarily mind, like, person of color, female. I don't really mind any of that. It's just James Bond has to be British. And, is it somebody who can do a very convincing British accent? I mean, maybe, but I don't think there's ever been a James Bond actor who hasn't been British. And I feel like, especially if you go into like hardcore James Bond fans, I feel like that's something that people would feel is very important when selecting the next James Bond actor. So I'm super casual, like James Bond fan. Like, I don't even think I've seen every James Bond movie. I like James Bond, but it's never been like my thing. So I'm kind of just watching, like eating my popcorn, like, yeah, I'm cool with however this goes. But I do understand that there is a rabid fan base that is going to be very opinionated about whatever they choose. So I don't know. Do you have any big like hot takes on this one or anything like that?
Well, did you see the last Bond film, No Time to Die?
No. See, that's where I am. I'm super casual.
Sure. Okay.
Take it or leave it for me. But yeah,
the last one, that was Daniel Craig as James Bond. That's the one that kind of gave us, in my personal opinion, I know Ana de Armas has been around for a while, but I think that one really launched her in an action character. Like, she's done a lot of stuff, but prior to it, but that one launched her career in the action world, I think, where everyone was like, yes, more of this girl. You got Daniel Craig, you got Ana de Armas. But yeah, that one, the James Bond was in, like, when the movie starts, he's kind of like in a retired state, and they had a female, not James Bond, but she was 007 because it's a, call sign. So when he, you know what I mean? So that's the thing, like James Bond is the code name that goes along with the call sign 007. And they never said her code name like James Bond, but she was 007. So that's where I wonder if, I mean, you could throw Zendaya in there in that sense. And then like, maybe she dies at the beginning of the movie and you get the James Bond that we know. I have no idea. I don't know how they're going to tackle this, but stop the rumors. Give us some serious stuff. You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. My mind's just running like, what if they did do what you're saying, where you have Zendaya is with the 007 call sign, and she does, like you said, she does die at the beginning of the movie, but all of the trailers make it look like she is playing the James Bond role the whole time. I feel like that's right. Such a funny marketing idea, like just to see the internet blow up, like that would be hilarious. But I'm the wrong person to ask because I just really don't have super strong opinions on it. I'm kind of down with whatever for this one. So.
Okay, cool. All right. Moving on. Final Destination 7 is in the works. Lori Evans Taylor, who wrote the script for Bloodlines, is working on this one as well. So, did you see the new Final Destination?
I haven't watched it yet. Final Destination is another one of those. I know that because he definitely was talking about it a lot last time I saw him. But Final Destination is another series that I'm like super casual on. You haven't watched the new one yet either?
Not yet. I actually have not seen 5 and the new one, so I have to kind of catch up. But my kid is like all about the Final Destination movies right now, which is kind of funny because he's like, he really is this like little pseudo horror film fan. and I'm loving it, kind of. You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Every single Batman story has been told, according to James Gunn. And when asking him about Batman for his DCU and what's all going to happen out of it, what does this all mean? James Gunn said, and I quote, and I'm quoting here, I'm not interested. Okay, this is also from an interview that he did with Screen Rant. I'm not interested in a funny, campy Batman. Every single Batman story has been told, and people love him because he's interesting. But also, having so much of him out there can also make him boring. So how do you create that property? What's fun to that's fun to watch? So ultimately what he's saying is like, there's so many Batman stories out there. How do you make a Batman movie without like overlapping, oversaturating, screwing it up? How do you make it compelling? And I'm totally with him on that. I will definitely not say every Batman story has been told. If you're looking for adaptations of comics, I would love to see them tackle Court of Owls because that's totally up James Gunn's alley, but it might be too dark for James Gunn. You know what I mean? That might be not out there the way James Gunn would do things. Maybe right. Hire another director for Court of Owls. But I think there's some really cool stuff that they could be doing. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. there's so much out there in terms of like the comic storylines that I would like to see touched on. But he's kind of right. There's a lot of Batman movies out there. So,
yeah, thoughts? I don't know how to take this one because I feel like he said he's not interested in a funny, campy Batman, but he didn't really say what he's interested in doing instead. I had this weird prediction. I was talking with my friend group like a while back, and I had this weird prediction that I feel like the next Batman, this is like a year or two ago, but I was like, I feel like the next Batman is going to be more campy, more over the top, more, I don't know, funny, but I feel like with how Batman's been portrayed for the last like 15 years, you know, ever since The Dark Knight, really, or Batman Begins even, I feel like, how do you differentiate, you know, like we've already gone so dark, we've already gone so realistic. And to differentiate, like, I feel like you almost have to throw on the blue spandex and you have to do like an Adam West throwback or something. I don't know what to do, but I think it is very challenging because Batman is like, movie wise, I mean, I don't know if Spider-Man has him beat, but he's definitely like top two best selling live action movie superheroes. He's definitely like everybody's favorite hero. There's so many live action iterations of him that how do you differentiate from that and have your own voice? So I almost thought James Gunn was going to go more of a campy route, but I'm obviously with this quote, I don't really know where he's heading. The one thing I did hear James Gunn say recently, though, is that not all of the superheroes in the DCU have to feel like the same vibe. You know, like they don't all like Superman was this bright, action-packed, fun movie, but that doesn't mean that every movie within the DCU is going to be that way. And so that kind of made me rethink things. Like, is James Gunn's Batman going to actually be darker? Is it not necessarily going to feel like it fits in with this recent Superman movie that we just saw? That's something interesting to think about. And then, like, it makes me rethink, like, well, are they going to bring Rob Pattinson's Batman into the DCU? Like, are we going to bring in the Batman movies, or where are we going to go with this? So this is another story where I don't know what to make of it. But I do think that is a big issue. Like, if you're bringing in a new Batman, if you're going to go dark and you're going to go realistic, how the heck do you differentiate from Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, or Robert Pattinson? Like, how do you do anything different than those versions, you know?
Yep. And I'm going to apologize for anyone on the podcast. My dog, who you've never heard, is Peter. You can hear him, right?
Yeah,
he is going apeshit about something. So, yeah, at any rate, someone has clearly arrived at the house.
Yeah, I think your dog really disagreed with my opinion.
He sure did. Right, he's never made noise. We've been doing the show for 6 years and he's never made noise. And here he is, like, holy cow. So someone must have walked in the house. And
Yeah, do you have any speculation on this? For like
I really don't. It's you have a great point. How do you differentiate? How do you move forward? How do you like it's so interesting. The one thing that I think would be really cool because of how Superman was, right? Figure out how you're going to do your Batman, but make it so. Do you remember the Jeff Loeb, Andy McGinnis?
Ed McGinnis.
Thank you. Ed McGinnis, yeah. Run of Batman, of World's Finest Batman, Superman, whatever that was.
Yep. Yeah, of course.
That was such a fun, like, and the characters were so well defined in that arc. And then the way it was all pieced together, that was literally like so cool. Like it was fun. It was dark. It was exciting. There was some moments of camp, but it was more on the Superman end of things. It was like there was so many dynamics to it that was so perfect for the DC universe. If you could find like that balance when you eventually have to bring the characters together, that'd be astounding. Right?
That's a good throwback too. Yeah.
Like that right feel, or figure out your Batman and get that right feel for the animated series Batman Superman movie that they did have. Because that was so perfect for that, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do think if you go back to the animated series movie, like you said, if you go back to that Batman Superman run with Ed McGinnis and Jeff Loeb, if you think about the way the characters act, you don't have some goofy, funny Batman hamming it up. Like, you're not watching Adam West on the screen, you know what I mean? But even though the stuff that's happening, like, is kind of ridiculous, you know, you have... you know, at the end of like that first Batman Superman arc, the Toy Man makes a giant composite Batman Superman mech. The Batman flies into space and like destroys an asteroid or whatever it was. I can't remember how it all played out. That's crazy stuff. And that is the type of stuff that James Gunn would pull from. But the way Batman and Superman act aren't campy. You know, they're acting like their normal selves. It's just the stuff going on around them is ridiculous. So that's actually a good point. Maybe that's more how it will play out.
Yeah, I know. We shall see. All right, one more news story, and then we will move on. This is a scary one. We need to quickly talk about the singularity and how AI is going to destroy us. Scientists are sounding an alarm because AI has learned how to self-replicate. This, in my opinion, is the beginning of the end, right? This is where it is. This is Skynet going online. Scientists have raised alarm about groundbreaking development in AI. Recently, researchers revealed that AI models have learned to self-replicate in lab settings, with some even creating functional copies of themselves. This makes a potential turning point for AI development, with experts fearing the risks associated with autonomous self-replication. The discovery raises urgent concerns about AI's future capabilities and its potential impact on humanity. As AI becomes more advanced, it's crucial that we take proactive steps to manage and regulate its growth. The consequences of unchecked AI autonomy could be catastrophic for our society. Are you kidding me? Like, seriously. Now, Peter, I know you've not watched the television show Stargate, but one of the villains in Stargate are a group of robots called replicators. And they're built around nanotechnology, and they self-replicate and they consume technology until it's completely wiped out. And then they move on to the next source of technology and consume it. And in doing so, they're constantly self-replicating. When you first see them in the show, they are little spider-like creatures, which are awesome. They're my favorite versions of the replicators. And then eventually they become like human looking because they're trying to mimic their prey, if you will. So yeah, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're Googling replicators right now, but apparently AI can self-replicate.
I think you brought this up on the show before, and I thought it was such a cool, like the replicators from Stargate. I thought it was such a cool concept for like, you know, a villain / AI species, whatever it is. Like, it's such a cool concept. I loved it. But just because you're bringing in the sci-fi angle, because that's exactly what I was thinking about, and it's exactly something we've said on our show before, man, you guys have already opened Pandora's box. You know, like when you're developing right. this AI type, like all this AI stuff, it's almost like, you know, it's not like we gave you the Matrix or the Terminator or any of Philip K. Dick's writings or like a dozen other sci-fi writers who are warning us about this stuff. But you guys had to keep going with it, and you've let Pandora out of its box. And I don't think it can be stopped at this point. And I don't know what to say about it. It's just kind of, you know, AI, like it's, I don't know. I could go on a big tirade, so I'll try not to. But it's one of those things where the more I learn about it, the more I feel the existential dread setting in. I know, like, recently I've seen there's a big trend where there's subreddit pages. Like, there's Reddit pages dedicated to my AI boyfriend and my AI girlfriend and stuff. And it's, you know, we're already kind of, you know, going into like a, you know, a birthing crisis where the population isn't going to replace itself. And that's going to bring in economical catastrophes in the future and stuff. And the AI is just adding to that now. And like I said, I could keep going on and on. So I don't know what to say. We're just doomed.
Yep. We're just doomed. It is the darkest timeline. All right. That all being said, let's talk about tonight's list, shall we?
Yeah, let's go for it. I love right. that we left off on such a positive note. And I'm being equally facetious, but also equally serious and very concerned, to be honest.
We sure did. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back.
And now for the top five.
All right, Peter, this was my pick this week. I gave you an actor to look at. We haven't talked about an actor in a little while. The thing about actors is it's always like, who's got a big body of work? Who's got movies I like? Oh, they only like it's when you get to, so for example, like when you pick an actor that's too new, do they have enough movies to talk about with us without us matching every time? You know what I mean? So that's the thing that blows my mind a little bit with the actor train. So this week I decided to give us an actor because we haven't talked about one in a while. And I thought about one who has like a range of like serious comedy, all that kind of stuff, all kinds of like kind of all over the board. How do we do it? You know? So I went with Jason Bateman. How did you feel about this list, putting this together?
Yeah, this was a fun list to put together. Jason Bateman's one of those actors who's been in so many movies. And he's one of those people who he's been in so many movies that I have loved and have watched so many times. And some of them I've even forgot that he makes appearances in. So that was kind of fun to go through his IMDb page and say, oh, wait, I forgot he was in that. Or, holy crap, he was in that movie? I need to check out where, you know what I mean? But no, good stuff. He definitely does have a range from like various very serious movies. He's been in like some action movies, some thrillers. But he's kind of, I feel like he's prominently known as a comedic actor. And so there's a really good variety there. And he's one of those actors who I think, like I said, he's kind of well known for his comedic roles, but he just kills it in some of the more serious, darker roles that he's done. And that's actually really cool to see when you look at especially some of the movies later in his career. But yeah, this was just kind of a fun list to put together because it has like, for me, it had like a mix of like some new favorites and then just some old movies that I really love that he's been a part of. So I have two honorable mentions, and okay. I don't know if you wanted to let us know any general thoughts about the list, but that's where I'm sitting with it.
So I've always enjoyed Jason Bateman as an actor. What I think is interesting is that I feel like he kind of exploded where like, yeah, he was in like Silver Spoons and you know, that kind of stuff. He had some TV shows back in the day. He had a couple movies here and there. And then all of a sudden it was just like Jason Bateman was in everything and it just kind of exploded. For sure. I did, you know, that's what I thought was really interesting about going through this list. And you're just like, yeah, that movie and that movie and that movie and so on and so on. So, yeah, I had fun putting this together, and like you, there was a couple where I was like, he's in that? Oh yeah, he is in that, you know.
yeah, absolutely.
The I have seen 35 of his movies.
Oh man, you know me. I forgot to count.
Always you forget to count. It's all good.
I saw a good chunk of his movies. I saw a fur piece of his movies, if you will.
So. I also have two honorable mentions. Surprise, surprise. So, okay, I was literally rolling in with one, and I was like, "Nah, I'm gonna go with two." So go ahead.
Okay, sweet. So yeah,
you got to go first. So it.
Yeah. My first honorable mention, this is kind of an interesting pick because this is a movie that I really, really loved when it came out. And it's a movie that I haven't really watched much since it first came out. And I don't really know how well it ages. I actually feel like this movie might not age well at all, which is kind of funny. But I actually went with the movie Juno. You remember Juno, you know, and Jason Bateman plays, you know, he plays the he's Jennifer Garner's husband in the movie. And he's the one who, you know, kind of, you know, he's somewhat romancing, you know, Ellen Page's character, or now Elliot Page, I guess I should say. But yeah, he has it's one of those things where I watched the movie and I remember I was in like my early 20s when this came out. And I remember thinking Jason Bateman's character was like really cool in the movie. But looking back on it, I've heard a lot of people criticize his role in the movie, like kind of saying he's like a little bit of a deadbeat husband.
Looking back on it, he is not cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So that's my thing is like, this is a movie that it felt so prominent at the time that it came out. But nowadays, like, I don't know if it ages that well. And that's one of the things that I think about. But when it did come out, it was like, it was kind of special for the time. I don't know. We haven't really talked about Juno on this podcast, though, Drew. So I don't know if what you think of this movie at all, to be honest.
Well, if you've never seen the movie Juno, this is basically a movie about a girl who gets pregnant. It's a high school teen pregnancy, doesn't know what to do about it, and is exploring her options to get basically have put up the child for adoption. That's ultimately what the movie's about. And that's that thing where like you don't, and Jason Bateman plays like, you know, one of the adopting possible parent situation things. And yeah, he is kind of that deadbeat dad thing that you deal with, and you know what I mean, you just so well, the movie what might he, be, the movie might be good is, but you know,
yeah, he plays this he writes commercial jingles for products, and you can tell that he is the he always had like dreams of being like a rock star. Like he really wanted to be a famous musician, and he's kind of still hanging on to that dream. And his wife, Jennifer Garner, in the movie is really like, she's hardcore ready to be that suburban soccer mom. And you can tell he's not ready for that. And there's a little bit of like an awkward, like almost romance between him and Juno. And it's an interesting situation. It's something that I think, I mean, it feels very realistic, but it's also one of those things where, you know, as much as like you watch the movie at a certain time, when you look back on certain characters' actions, you're like, I don't really know about that sort of thing. So that's why I'm like, I don't know how this one ages, but at the time, this was like a huge movie. And yeah, I didn't mean to like make you like recount the events of the movie. I just didn't know.
No, I just don't know. I just don't
or, like if you're a fan or anything like that.
It's,
you know,
a movie that made big waves when it came out. And just in terms of the political landscape nowadays, I don't know if it holds up. And
yeah, that's where I'm sitting with it for sure.
You know what I mean? I just don't know if it holds up anymore. And I feel like it was it's a time capsule movie, if you will, because of the political landscape we are in. So that's kind of like what I was getting at. But if you've never seen it, that's ultimately what the movie's about. The girl gets high school teen pregnancy and doesn't know what to do with it and exploring her options. And that's ultimately what the movie's about. Okay, so let's move on to something a little more exciting. The only reason this movie, this is one of my absolute all-time favorite comedies. I love this movie to death. The only reason this movie does not make it into my actual list is because Jason Bateman is in this movie for a blink of an eye. He's kind of a, he's a cameo role only. The movie is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. This movie is so wonderful in every way. It is funny as hell, but Jason Bateman, Sarah Marshall is an actress on like a crime drama television show. Jason Bateman plays her partner police officer on the show, and you only see him at the end of the movie when you see the end credits, because you see the commercial for her new show and Jason Bateman's in the show with her.
Yeah.
So this is only making an honorable mention because he is barely in the movie. So yeah, but I love Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and his bit at the end during the credits is just, it's solid gold. But yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good call. This is one of the ones that I saw on the list, and I was like, wait, he's in that? And then I realized what role he plays.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's such a small role. But Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a great movie. Like, it's hilarious, and it's really funny. Maybe not being the most memorable part, because he was in such a small scene, but definitely a good call with this one.
Yeah, so good. All right, man. What's your next honorable mention?
Yeah, so my next honorable mention is a comedy movie from like the mid 2010s, or maybe early 2010s. Super funny movie. The reason it's an honorable mention is that it's, again, kind of like you were saying with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Well, actually, I think Jason Bateman plays a prominent role in this movie. I personally don't remember his performance like a ton in this film, even though he is in a big role. But that movie is Paul, you know, the movie Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, the movie about kind of like best friends, and they're taking a nerdy road trip across the United States. You know, obviously they're both British. They both flew over to the US, rented an RV, and they're taking that road trip across the United States to visit UFO sighting locations. So they're going to Roswell, New Mexico, Area 51, all those sort of things. And they're going to places that the average person wouldn't necessarily think are that special, but they go to these places where there might have been a UFO sighting. And you know, it's one of those things where these characters are such, holy crap, I'm actually in this location, where the average person might not think twice of it. But of course they get united with Paul, who is a, you know, who is an alien, who ends up joining them. And it kind of starts, or it kind of ends up being this big sort of like chase, where you have all these like government security agency type individuals chasing this alien around. And there's these two British nerds who are kind of giving the alien sanctuary in their RV as they travel across the country. If I remember correctly, Jason Bateman is like one of the government agents who's kind of chasing them down. But again, I don't really remember his role in the movie too well, and that's why it's an honorable mention. But I do love this film. It kind of has that sort of Kevin Smithy, fanboys-y sort of thing, where a lot of the scenes in the movie are references to other science fiction movies, to other movies within like nerd culture and stuff like that. And I always loved that. But yeah, it's one of those things. I don't remember Jason Bateman a ton from this movie, and I think that's just a sign that I need to revisit it. So yeah, that's why it's an honorable mention. But Paul was definitely a super fun film, no less.
Paul's a lot of fun. I just haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, I do believe he was one of the government agents trying to track down the alien as well. So
yeah, right. That's what it said on IMDb. Mention, I just didn't look into this one a ton, but yeah, keep going. What was your next one?
My next honorable mention is Smokin' Aces.
Right on.
This is I've talked about this movie before. It's basically an FBI manhunt, and plus every bounty hunter in the world is after this one guy that the FBI is looking for. So like when you get to the hotel in the movie, like everyone's converging on this one hotel in Vegas, and it just becomes this crazy like bloodbath of action. Really cool movie. Really, honestly, one of those movies is really well written and put together, especially for the sheer size of the cast that's in it. But Jason Bateman plays a lawyer That is like, he's one of those dirtbag defensive lawyers, and he's like held up in this hotel, in this like motel, not the hotel where the big stuff takes place, but he's in this like motel, and they, some characters go and check in with him about what they're doing because they got to get this guy for this other case and that kind of stuff. And he's got these, he's got this just wonderful monologue that's just, I think only he could deliver, and it's hilarious. And it's so well put together, but the movie itself is a lot of fun, but his performance in that like little scene was kind of like one of those like steal the moment kind of things in the movie. Really good. Highly recommend Smoking Aces. So there you go.
Nice.
Yep.
Pete, did I lose you? Okay. Or this movie before on the show. Oh, did I cut out for a second?
Oh, I, well, actually I didn't know if you paused or if I lost you for a sec, but we're good.
Oh, nice. No, you've mentioned this movie before on the show. I still haven't seen it for whatever reason. And for whatever reason, every time I see or hear the name Smokin' Aces, I always mix it up with 3,000 Miles to Graceland, which is, I don't know if it's a very different movie, but 3,000 Miles to Graceland is that, I guess it's a heist movie with a bunch of Elvis impersonators. And I have no idea, even when I saw like this on Jason Bateman's IMDb page, when I saw Smokin' Aces, my mind went straight to the Elvis impersonator movie. I have no idea why, but I mean, 3,000 Miles to Graceland is a fun movie too. I imagine Smokin' Aces is probably a little bit better, but I still haven't seen this one, unfortunately. So there you go.
Okay. Well, see if you can get a chance to watch. Watch this. It's a good movie. I think you'll like it. Sure. What's your first actual pick for the night?
Yeah, I'll get this one over. I feel like kind of like this one's. Yeah.
Did no, I sorry. I don't know if you're pause. I don't know if you're pausing or if you're cut out. But I was like, "What's your first one?" And then there was a pause, and I'm like, I just want to make sure that connection and stuff is all good. So you're good. What's your first pick for the night?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I think I might be cutting out, to be honest, because I'm definitely not.
You're definitely
pausing, so.
Yeah, you're definitely cutting out of it. But yeah, it's all right. We're
sorry,
locked in.
Sorry about this. We'll fix it.
Oh man, it's our it's our 360. It's our 360 episode, and it's our Red Ring of Death. Here we go. What do you got for?
Absolutely. No, I was just saying that. So my next pick, or my first pick of the night, official pick, is I feel like it's a bit of a cheat, but I'll get it right out of the way. I did go with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I know that Jason Bateman is essentially just in a credit scene of this movie, but I love the movie so much. It's such an enjoyable movie. And for me, this comes back to that, like, you know, if I'm being honest, like out of all the movies that Jason Bateman is in, this is definitely within my top five, even though he's only in such a small part of it. So there you go.
Nope. Sorry, I started typing the wrong thing.
3,000 Miles to Graceland, probably.
Yeah, right. No, I literally was like about to type my next thing and like my next pick in your on your list. And I was like, oop, that's not correct. All right. No, good call. Yes, a wonderful film. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, everyone should watch it. It's amazing. I wonder if I'm like on a joke level, but who knows? I haven't watched it in a little while. I just love that movie. All right, the next one on my list is a movie called Air. It's fairly new. Did you see Air, Peter?
No, I still haven't watched this one. I remember it. I wanted to watch it. I just haven't found time for some reason. So yeah, okay. Enlighten me.
Air is the Nike movie about how they signed Michael Jordan when they made the Air Jordan shoes. Jason Bateman plays one of the guys who works at Nike in the corporate offices and like with the signing, but with trying to help Matt Damon's character signed Jordan and stuff. Jay's wonderful in the movie. The movie itself is wonderful. Really, really good. I had a lot of fun watching it. It was just a good movie. So yeah, if you get a chance to watch it, it's great. So there you go. Air. I don't have too much to say about it other than, and it's new enough that everyone should have known about it. I believe it's on Netflix right now. So there you go.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Definitely need to check that one out. So, yeah, I guess I can roll into my next pick. unless you had more to say, but it seemed like you didn't.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
My next pick, I actually went with the movie Game Night. And this is like,
really?
I think this movie's pretty fun. You know, it's Jason Bateman. And, is it Rachel McAdams who plays his wife in this movie? But they're kind of like this couple that's like super tuned into the tabletop gaming world, if you would say more so breaking out, like, you know, Betrayal at House on the Hill or anything like that, but, you know, definitely like big into like Pictionary and, you know, like all your standard tabletop sort of game night sort of things. But they're tuned into that, and they end up, like, they're usually the hosts, but one night they end up, you know, going to, it's Jason Bateman's brother's house for his game night, and that ends up, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. It's like his brother is having kind of more of a scenario sort of game, like it's more of like a murder mystery sort of thing, and they end up actually getting involved in like a real life sort of hostage situation. But half of the people involved think that it's all based on the game that they're playing. Like, they think it's based on this live action role playing scenario, but it's actually like a real sort of like criminal hostage sort of scenario. It's a really fun premise. It kind of, to me, it harkens back to, like, if you've seen Bill Murray's The Man Who Knew Too Little movie, which is actually a play on an older film, The Man Who Knew Too Much. But it's that sort of thing. It's getting involved in that crazy sort of hostage situation without really knowing what's going on. Game Night, I think this is kind of a goofy
pick. With you.
I don't think this is like the greatest movie, Jake, but it's a fun movie, and I enjoyed it enough to put it on my list. So there you go.
Yeah. No, Game Night was a lot of fun. The only reason this didn't make my list is because I did not like Jason Bateman's character. His level of it was the degree of arrogance and competitiveness was like, dude, you need to chill out, like, because he was so into games, you know what I mean? It just drove me nuts. But yeah, no, I mean, it was a fun movie, but yeah, I just didn't like his character in the movie. So
okay, that that's interesting, and that's one of those things, like, I could probably rewatch the movie and think about that. I do think that, like I said, I don't think this is like the most amazing movie ever, so I think, like, watching the movie, I did have that bit of a grain of salt, like, I'm just gonna enjoy this movie for what it is. So again, like, I don't think this is like a must watch thing, but I did like this movie enough, so, sort of thing. And as opposed to like Paul, for example, in my honorable mentions, like, Jason Bateman's like the main character in this movie, like, super memorable performance and stuff like that. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, my next pick, I went with the movie Up in the Air. Have you seen it? Now, I'm not trying to pick all these like air movies, but did you see the movie Up in the Air?
No,
George,
I don't.
George Clooney,
Hendrick, I'm not
Jason Bateman. Up in the Air. This is a cool movie.
Yeah,
George Clooney plays. Okay. Yeah. So George Clooney plays. He's a guy who. He's one of those, like, it's like kind of a consulting firm. So, like, when they want to do like mass layoffs at a company, Clooney's the guy that gets on the airplane, goes to the company, and helps assist with all the layoffs. Real fun job, right? Well, he's so traveling around the world and all that stuff. His goal in the movie is to get 1 million frequent flyer miles, because it's very rarely achieved. So it's kind of like a talking point when he talks to people and stuff. And like, what happens when you actually get 1 million frequent flyer miles and that kind of thing. But it's kind of like this existential, like, midlife crisis. He's going through some stuff, meets a girl, that kind of thing. Anna Kendrick plays someone who's now joined the team, and she's trying to make it so you can fire people online. And she's like, oh, we can do the whole thing here. We don't have to travel anymore. And he's like, you have to go and talk to these people in person. You can't do it over a computer. So he takes her on a business trip to like actually do it in person and understand why you can't do something like that over the computer, because it's too personal of a thing. But Jason Bateman plays their boss at the company that they work for. He's great in the movie. But the movie itself is just, it's a really good movie. I had a lot of fun with this. It was nominated. George Clooney was nominated for Best Actor. He didn't win, but he was nominated. I believe the movie was nominated for Best Picture as well. It was really good. I liked it a lot. So if you get a chance to watch Up in the Air, watch it. I think it's a really good watch. There's some fun moments. There's some serious moments, but you're kind of going for the ride and you're just like, is he going to get there? Is he going to get his 100 million miles? You know, that kind of thing. It's a good movie. So yeah, there you go.
This is, yeah, that's really interesting. I might have been like really off of the pulse when this movie came out, because I'm like really not familiar with this. I didn't know this was going to be like a Best Picture sort of thing. And thinking back to like 2009, where I was in life, I probably was exclusively just trying to watch as much horror movies as possible or something when this came out. Like maybe it was just totally off my radar. So yeah, I wasn't familiar, but yeah, it sounds like a good flick. So I'll definitely keep it in mind, you know?
Yeah. So what's the next one for you? Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll get it out of the way. It's the one that's, well, actually, man, you know what? Never mind. I'm gonna say it. I was going to say the one we're all thinking of, but I'll save that one. I'll go with another one. It's a movie that I've mentioned on the show before, but what's up? Oh, just that I switched up. Well, I was going to mention a movie, but I think we might match
on it.
Yeah,
because you're like the one we're all thinking of.
That might have been sarcastic, by the way. But I'll go with a different movie. Yeah. So this movie that I'm going to mention, I don't remember. I know I've brought this up on the show before. I don't remember if you've seen this one or not, Drew. The movie The Gift.
Okay.
Have you seen this one before?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen The Gift in a while, but yes, I have seen this movie. Okay. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, this is one of those
Katie Holmes, right? Katie Holmes. There's two movies. There's two movies, The Gift. And
it is
Yeah, there are two movies that came out very close together called The Gift. And
no,
I don't remember.
This would be Jason Bateman. Rebecca Hall plays his wife in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And the other gift. So The Gift with Jason Bateman came out in 2015. Katie Holmes and Kate Blanchett. So anyway.
Yeah, it's not the most unique name for a movie. So there's definitely multiple The Gifts. But no, this movie is awesome. The Gift with Jason Bateman. It's like this really awesome thriller movie. And it's basically about you have Jason Bateman and his wife move from Chicago to, I believe it's California. And it's one of those things where Jason Bateman gets this good like job opportunity, and he moves back to California to his hometown. And while they're settling in, he meets this other guy who I have the IMDb page pulled up. Okay, so he meets this guy named Gordo, who's played by Joel Edgerton, he doesn't meet him. It's a guy that he knows from like high school and stuff, right? So he meets an old friend, Gordo, who shows up, and it's one of those people who like the couple like stumbles into at the grocery store or whatever. And then Gordo starts to, he keeps showing up. Like he makes appearances at their front door. He brings them, you know, presents or like bits of food to eat and stuff. And it's one of those sort of thrillers where you have this character who gets to like stalkerish levels, and he starts to get like really clingy, and he starts to invade more and more, and it's super super creepy. But what's awesome about it is because this is somebody that Jason Bateman knows from his school years. There's something dark in Jason Bateman's character's past that he's keeping hidden, and that's what's cool about this movie. Is it's one of those really dark thrillers that has that really nice mystery behind it. And it's kind of like it's a really good thriller. It's a really good tale of revenge. It's kind of pretty effed up, but if you're like in the mood for like a really fun dark sort of thriller. Like, this movie was, like, really great. So I don't want to say too much about this one because this is something that's easy to spoil. But I just loved The Gift. And this is also one of those movies that's, like, this is one of the more, like, one of the first sort of, like, more serious roles I think I had seen Jason Bateman in. At least at the time that this came out,
sure.
Effect to it. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man.
There you go.
The Gift. all right. Let's see. Where am I with my list?
Yeah, I don't want to do the one everyone thinks we're going to talk about. All right. I'm going to talk about the one everyone's waiting for us to do, and that's The Change Up. Did you watch this movie?
This is another one. Peter, I don't know. Do you remember I gotta look it up. Yeah,
this is the one where Jason Bateman. You're cutting out a lot.
Okay,
so
my bad.
This is that Red Death. I apologize. It's weird. It's Peter. It's almost like there's this tiny, tiny delay. Like I'll say something, it won't cut out your sentence in any way, but it's like the slightest delay for you to come back and talk. So it's weird. It's like these pockets of dead air, and it's driving me nuts. But it doesn't matter. We're powering through. I'm glad we're talking about this. You're working. It's just bizarre. It's like the beginning of every sentence. This is like the slightest delay. So it's clear. You there? Did I lose you?
Yeah. No. I'm there. It's my apologies. I can't really help it too much, but I think there is definitely a digital issue going on. I almost feel like, unfortunately, I feel like the Red Ring joke jinxed it at the beginning of the show.
I know. What can you
but
do?
But it's all good.
Oh, well. Anyway,
it's also rough because keep going.
No. We don't need to whine and moan about it. Internet nonsense. The Change Up. Would you watch this or do you not remember this one?
I don't think I've seen this one, so keep going.
All right, so this is a body swap movie. It's a body swap movie, and it's where Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman change bodies, like a Freaky Friday kind of a thing. They get drunk, they get angry at each other, they're peeing in a fountain, and they say, "I wish I had your life," and they swap bodies. And they don't know it. And then it becomes a trying to navigate and all that stuff. And then they're like, how do we switch back? And then they have to find the fountain so they can go pee in it again. You know, it's a really funny movie. The movie is absolutely hilarious from top to bottom. Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds, Olivia Wilde is in it. Leslie Mann's in it. Like, it's just so funny from beginning to end. I highly recommend it. I think you should watch it. So yeah, if you haven't, make sure you put it on your short list. So. There you go.
Nice. And yeah, this one sounds entertaining. This one sounds good. I don't know why I skipped this one, but I do vaguely remember this coming out now that you mention it. But yeah, I can jump into my next pick. Again, sorry for the internet issues. I don't know what's going on.
It's really hard to apologize for it, dude. So just kind of roll with it.
For sure. Yeah, so I'll just get it out of the way. The one that I was going to mention earlier, I went with the movie Dodgeball, where Jason Bateman, of course, plays Pepper Brooks.
Yeah, Pepper needs a new pair of shorts.
He plays the one one of the announcers on ESPN8, the Ocho, that is announcing the big dodgeball tournament, and it's amazing. He has such a small role in the movie, but it's one of the more memorable roles. He is one of the funniest characters on screen. Like you just mentioned, the new pair of shorts line is great. I love the part in the movie where you have the main characters get the wrong shipment box for their uniforms, and it's all like the weird like bondage gear, right? And when they run out onto the court in like all the weird like leather chains and straps and stuff, just looking so ridiculous. I just love Pepper like watching that, just like, oh, that's rad. You know, it's just so great. But no, he's one of the best. He's like just such a great character. And again, he's in such a small part of the movie, but he just totally steals the show. So awesome stuff. I don't know if we matched on this one, Drew, or if you have any comments.
Oh, we totally matched on this one. Awesome. And Jason Bateman, like him and Gary Cole, just him him and Gary Cole, their banter back and forth. He is like, there's moments in the, it's moments in his, from the booth, from the announcing booth, where it's like, he's not paying attention, turns and says something like just completely like, yep. Okay. And then kicks it back, you know, like, it's so funny. He's like, yep, these are the rules, back to you, you know? And you're just like, yeah, okay. Dynamite drop in. It's really hilarious. And then he just gets super excited. And I love that bit where they're like, when Gary Cole's like, I do believe he just blindfolded himself. He's like, yeah, he will not be able to see very well, Cotton. Like, yeah. Of course he won't.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, really cool. Yeah. It's like when they're like, it's in a shocking ending. When Gary Cole says it, he's like, in a shocking ending. And Jason Bateman goes, I feel shocked. He's got these great lines. He, in my opinion, those two together, it was just fantastic. So yeah, Dodgeball, we totally matched on it. So I'm going to kick it back to you for your last pick of the night.
Okay, awesome. For my last pick, I went with a pretty recent movie, actually. Well, I guess it's like close to a year old, but I actually went with the movie Carry on Netflix. This is another one where we might match, Drew.
No, this is, I thought about it. I had so much fun watching this movie. It was great. It's like, let's do a Christmas Die Hard kind of a thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what were we going to get out of that? And it was like, I was like, the movie dropped right when I needed it to drop. And it was just, I had so much fun. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually kind of surprised we didn't match, just because I thought this movie was like so good, and I was both giving like glowing reviews for it on the show. But yeah, this is like that really awesome, like sort of Chris. I mean, and it is like a hardcore like action thriller, but it's a scenario where you have I can't remember the main actor's name, but he's like, he's working at the TSA, right? He's checking people in with, you know, the metal detector and stuff like that. And he ends up coming across that. And like, I won't go of course he like is trying to get a job promotion to like impress his girlfriend and stuff like that. And so he like stepped it up. It's like the day he steps up to be the main guy who's manning the metal detector and stuff like that. And of course, this crazy, crazy situation comes where he ends up being given a small headphone, like on the sort of conveyor belt of stuff that's scanning. And there's like a note, I want to say, that says, put the headphone in. And once he does, like, he's being dictated, like, okay, there is a briefcase that's going to come through the conveyor belt. I want you not to look at what's inside. You are to let this person pass through with their briefcase. And if you don't, I'm going to kill. And I can't remember if it's his girlfriend or wife or fiance, but he's like, I am going to kill your fiance. And it is that situation, like, holy crap, what do I do? And it's revealed that he's being watched. Like, there's somebody's hacked into the security cameras. They can see his every move. And so he has to do things like covertly try to call 911 from his phone. But he can't get away with that because they're watching him so closely. He has to try to do it from his watch. They end up like making him give up his watch. He's trying to communicate with the other TSA agents. And it's this super, super intense story, and it's just a really quiet thriller where it's like, holy crap, there's this really intense situation, I don't know what's going to happen. And it starts as this like quiet thing, and as the movie goes, it gets more and more intense, and it becomes this thing where he's running across all levels of the airport, everywhere, like chasing people around and stuff like that. And spoiler alert, Jason Bateman is the main villain in this movie. He is again, spoiler alert, essentially terrorist who's trying to get this like briefcase that's filled with nerve gas onto this airplane. And it's basically going to be this assassination attempt on this congresswoman who is going to be on the airplane at the same time. We're talking about Jason Bateman playing serious roles. He is so intimidating in this movie. He is such a good villain. And again, this is somebody who's known primarily for comedic roles. So like, he just like choose the scenery, he plays such a good villain. And I've said on the show so many times, like, I love those villains that you just love to hate. And I feel like he has that in this movie. Like, he's such a good villain. You love watching him on screen, but you also hate him at the same time. He really gets under your skin in the best sort of way. And that's why I saved this one for last. I really, really love this movie. I was super impressed with it when it came out. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Really good movie. The last one on my pick is Office Christmas Party. Have you watched this movie? I don't know if you have.
No, I haven't seen this one yet. I had a feeling you were going to bring it up. I still haven't seen this movie, though.
I didn't think I was going to end up with this being my end of the night pick, by the way. But Office Christmas Party has ultimately become a yearly thing for me. Like, it's Christmas, it's time to watch Office Christmas Party. It's so funny. It's literally like an IT company Christmas party, and in the midst of it, there's like a hostile takeover kind of a thing. Shut down the company, lay off all the employees, but they're going to use the Christmas party to land some big deal and all that stuff. And then it gets unbelievably out of control. And it's just, the amount of stuff that happens in this movie at the party, it just gets more out of control and more out of control and more out of control. And you're just like, oh my God. First off, they went way above and beyond for throwing a party, and then it gets out of control. And then they continue to go way above and beyond to continue making it go out of control. And eventually it's like, oh my God, we shouldn't be doing this. You know, the movie is hilarious, not just on the physical gags, but in the dialogue gags, the lines of dialogue, the jokes, the references, all of it. The cast is huge. Jason Bateman, Olivia Munn, TJ Miller, Rob Corddry. Rob Corddry's great. Grace Park, Kate McKinnon, Jennifer Aniston. Man, there's a lot of people. Turns, and you're just like, oh, it's that guy too. And that guy, you know, really good movie. This is one, it's kind of rolling up there with like Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation and stuff. This is one I like to watch like every year. I'm just like, yeah, throw an Office Christmas Party. Definitely watch the unrated cut if you can find it. Don't watch a censored version of this movie. It is so much funnier if you're not watching a censored version. But yeah, you need to watch this. I'm surprised you haven't, but there you go.
Well, this is high praise when we're talking about like some of the Christmas classics and stuff that you're mentioning. It's pretty awesome to hear. So I definitely want to watch this one. I think when Office Christmas Party came out, to me, like, and nothing against it, like, I really want to watch this movie, but I kind of like felt like it was one of these that I would like let come to me, if you will. Like, I wasn't going to go out of my way for it, but I was going to wait till like it sure. just happens to be on like Netflix and it's around Christmas and I'm just like, yeah, I'll check this out. But it did look hysterical. Like, I definitely want to watch this one. Thinking of like other like sort of like raunchy Christmas comedies that came out at the same time, how would you say this one compares to like The Night Before, for example?
Oh, so much better. So much
really?
Better.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So much better. And yeah, I've watched The Night Before. The Night Before was really good, but no, this is so much better. So yes, please make the effort. Please make the effort to watch this year. So
okay, okay, cool. Yeah, anyway, I'll definitely check this out. I didn't know that Office Christmas Party was such a non-skippable thing. So I'll definitely keep this one on my radar.
Yeah, it's not. It's a non-skippable. So. At least I say so. What is it's your pick for next week? It's your pick for next week. What are we doing? What are we talking about?
Yeah. Okay. So you hit me up with Jason Bateman. I figured, why don't we go with another actor? So I actually was thinking about, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's fall time. My kids back to school. And when I think of entertainment, that's making me think of like two things. One is I'm thinking of course, back to school. I'm thinking of teen comedies, stuff like that. But also, it's fall time. We're rolling into spooky season. So combine those teen comedies with like comedy horror movies. Like, we're really talking talking about like the sign of the times right there. I had to think of an actor who is like in a lot of movies like that. And I ended up kind of thinking of an actor who I think is one of my favorite actors from the late 90s, but also is still pretty relevant to this day in the right corners. You know what I mean? So I actually chose, I thought it'd be fun to talk about our top five Matthew Lillard movies next week. So we're talking Matthew Lillard. Okay. You can do anything from Scooby-Doo to Scream to Hackers to, I mean, I might be spoiling parts of the list, but when you think of somebody who's like really iconic in those old school teen comedies, but also like still is in his own corners when it comes to his voice acting stuff and like newer stuff like Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff. Like, I thought this would be a really fun list to talk about.
Cool. Let's do it.
Nice.
Yeah. Matthew Lillard, let's do it. I can guarantee I know one's going on the list right now.
there you go.
Anyway. yeah. All right, man. Well, that brings us to the end of this week. I'm going to put this one out because of our internet hiccups, and I would rather not deal with more if that's all right with you. Sound good, Pete? Close this guy out. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Perfect. So everyone, do us all a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. There you'll find links to our social media along with the link to our email, top5report@gmail.com. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible. You can subscribe to us in those places. If you do, you will not miss a single episode. You can also leave us a review. We love those 5 stars, but we understand criticism because it helps us get better and it makes the words important. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Drew3927. Peter, what about you?
Yeah. Again, sorry about the weird internet delays. I guess, that's out of our control, but I appreciate everybody's patience with that. But yeah, everybody can follow me on Twitter at Ninja Pierre. And that's where I'll be reminding you that if Mr. Terrific and Inspector Gadget ever got into a fight, the winner would definitely be Professor Jerry Botnick. So just keep in mind.
All right. Everybody, for the top five report, I'm Drew.
I'm Peter.
Yep. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Sorry for the delay. Have a good night.